وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. And mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah took a covenant from those who were given the scripture. What was this covenant?
لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ.
That you must make it clear to the people and not conceal it. What was their reaction? What was their response?
فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ.
But they threw it away behind their backs.
وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا.
And exchanged it for a small price.
فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ.
And wretched is that which they purchased.
وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ.
When Allah took a covenant from those people who were given the book. Who are these people who were given the book? The Jews and the Christians. It has been said that it refers to the Jews from whom this covenant, this pledge was taken in the Torah. Others have said that it's not just the Jews, but rather it is the Jews and the Christians from whom this pledge was taken in their respective books. And yet others have said that it doesn't just refer to the Jews and Christians, but it refers to all of the people who were given some scripture. Every nation that was given a scripture was made to take this covenant that they will definitely explain the book and they will not hide any part of the book.
لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ.
From the root letters, baya noon. Bayan. What does bayan mean? To be clear. And tubayyinunnahu, from tabayyun, what does it mean? To clarify something. To manifest something. To explain something. So you will explain the book to who? To the people. You will make it clear to them. You will make it known to them. You will inform them about what is in the book. You will explain to them the message that is given in the book. And if we take this, especially in the context of, in the meaning of the people of the book, as in the Jews and the Christians, then this can also be understood as لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ refers to that the descriptions of the last prophet. The descriptions and the signs of the last prophet. That you will tell the people about them.
وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ.
And you will not hide it at all. تَكْتُمُونَ from the root letters كَافْ تَعْمِيمُ Katama, kitman, to conceal. So you will definitely explain it, and secondly, you will not hide it. If you think of it, the meaning was clear just by saying you will definitely explain it. You will definitely make it open and clear and plain to the people. Doesn't that automatically mean that you're not going to hide anything? It does. But when it has been mentioned that you will definitely clarify it and you will not hide any of it, what does it show? The emphasis, the clarity of the command, of the instruction, that you have to convey everything that is mentioned in the book. You can't keep anything just to yourself. You can't hide it from the people just for your own personal benefit. And remember that kitman of the book, concealing of the book, is done in two ways. That first of all, literally, some parts of the book are concealed. They're hidden. How? That they're either removed or they are burnt or they are not made known to the people. Literally, those verses or those parts of the book, they're concealed, they're hidden from the people. And secondly, kitman is done by distorting, by tahrif. Because if a word has been changed, if a statement has been altered, then the real message, hasn't that been hidden? Hasn't that been concealed? Yes. It may appear to be in the book, however, it's not actually what was in the book. It's not actually the original part of the book. It's distorted. So, لَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ, you will not hide it. It gives both the meanings over here. That you will not conceal any part of it and you will not distort any part of it. You will not change, you will not alter any part of the book. And any part of the book includes the sifat of the Prophet ﷺ. And notice it has been said, لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ, for all people, without any bias.
فَنَبَذُوهُ,
but they threw it, وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ, behind their backs. نَبَذُوهُ, from the root letters, نُون بَذَال, نَبَذَ. And what does نَبَذَ mean? It is to throw something away, not caring about it. It is to throw something away, why? Because you don't care about it. And it is to throw something away in a manner that you don't care the least about it. You know how, for instance, if like big machines or cars are being thrown into like a junkyard, how do they throw them? With care? No, they just drop them from a height. They don't care that if the scar falls, it's going to break further, it's going to get spoiled further. No, they don't care about that. That is what nabada is. To throw something while not caring about it. You don't care in the least that it's going to break, it's going to get damaged, it's going to get spoiled. You don't care. And you throw it in a way that is also very harsh. So nabaduhu, they threw it. Where did they throw it? In front of them? No. وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ, behind their backs. They just threw it, they hurled it, they tossed it behind their backs. Because they didn't even want to see it. This, فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ, this is an expression. It's not literal. But this is an expression that illustrates the severity, the shiddah, of their turning away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the book. And He told them, you must clarify to the people, and you must not hide any part of it. What did they do? They threw the book, they threw this mithaq, this covenant that they made with Allah behind their backs, meaning they completely turned away from it. And they turned away from it, how? With arrogance. They just threw it behind their backs. Because one is that a person throws something in front of him, so at least he can see it. And the other is that he throws it behind his back, so that he cannot even see it. He doesn't even want to look at it. So فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ, meaning they ignored it, they forgot it, they didn't give any importance to the book, they didn't give it any priority, they didn't do what was required of them. They abandoned it, and they did not fulfill the mithaq that they had made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else did they do? وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, and they bartered with it a small price, a petty price. وَاشْتَرَوْا, اِشْتَرَوْا, what does it mean? To buy and sell, to take something in exchange of another. So they threw the book, they threw the mithaq, and instead, what did they take in exchange? What did they take in exchange for it? ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, a small price, a petty price, meaning a benefit of this world. And what is that benefit that they took in exchange for leaving the book, for abandoning the mithaq? What was it that they gained? Some worldly status, some worldly fame, religious leadership. We see that at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Jews of Medina, why did they not believe in him? Why? Because they feared that if we believe in him, we are going to lose our religious supremacy. We won't be the religious leaders anymore. We won't be the religious elite anymore. Up until now, people think that we are the ones who have the scripture, the prophets were from among us, special miracles happened, we saw so much, we gained so many benefits from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we believe in a non-Israeli prophet, what's going to happen? We're going to lose our supremacy. We're going to lose our prestige, our leadership. So they threw the book of Allah. They ignored the mithaq that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Just to gain some worldly benefit. ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And if you think of it, this religious leadership, how long was it for? How long was it for? A few days, a few years, a few centuries. Because eventually every person is going to die. ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. It's small in its value, and it's also less in the time that it is enjoyed for. So وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. What does Allah say? فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ. So how bad it is what they took, what they purchased, meaning what they took in exchange for the covenant of Allah. How bad is it? How evil it is? How terrible it is? How insignificant it is? What terrible consequences they will face in the hereafter for taking this in exchange of the book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. What do we learn from this ayah? First of all, severe warning against concealing ilmun nafir, beneficial knowledge. Severe warning has been given in this ayah for what? Concealing ilmun nafir. Especially, what is ilmun nafir? Beneficial knowledge. Because it's latubayyinunnahu linnas, for the people. Why are you going to tell the people about it? Because it is relevant to them. It is beneficial for them. They must know about it so that they can benefit from it. So if a person conceals, if a person hides beneficial knowledge and he only keeps it to himself and does not tell other people about it, there's severe warning in this ayah for him. And especially, ilmun nafir includes what? knowledge of the deen, knowledge of the book. So hiding the book, not telling people about the book, this is what? A great crime. Why? Because those people who know the book, those people who have some beneficial knowledge, it is their responsibility that they must tell other people about it. They must spread that knowledge to others, because it is of benefit to people. And a person is not allowed to be stingy with regards to knowledge. We learn from a hadith that is mentioned in Ibn Majah. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is asked about knowledge and then he conceals it, whoever is asked about some ilm and he conceals it, he will be made to wear a brittle of fire on the Day of Judgment. So there are severe consequences for concealing knowledge. So if a person has knowledge about something and others around him are ignorant, what is his responsibility? What is his duty? That he must tell others about it. He must spread that knowledge. Is there any lesson in this for us? What? That if we are learning the Quran, if we know how to read the Quran, if we know the meaning of the Quran, then what is our responsibility? Those people who don't know, we should tell them, instead of looking down upon them. Because many times, people take a lot of pride in the knowledge that they have gained, especially of the deen. Because they know that it's the haqq. And you feel special that you have something that other people don't have. Huh? Some people feel like that. So instead of being proud, instead of looking down upon other people, what should be our way? That we should convey this knowledge to other people as well, if they're ignorant, if they don't know. And if a person conceals that knowledge, there is severe consequences. Also we see that the Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, Alladina Utul Kitab, they were made to take this covenant. And as I mentioned to you, these people either refers to the Jews or the Jews and Christians both, or not just the Jews and Christians, but all of those people who were given any scripture. So a people who were given a scripture from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is mandatory upon them that they must spread that book. They must tell other people about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And they must not hide any part of it. Do we fall in that category? Yes. So this ayah is not being revealed just to, you know, say negative things about the Jews and Christians. No. It is a reminder for us, for the Muslim ummah, that if you have this knowledge now, if you have knowledge of the book, don't just keep it to yourself. Tell other people about it. Recitation.
وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ
لا تحسبن الذين يفرحون بما أتوا ويحبون أن يحمدوا بما لم يفعلوا. And never think that those who rejoice in what they have perpetrated and like to be praised for what they did not do. فلا تحسبنهم بمفازة من العذاب ولهم عذاب أليم. Never think them to be in safety from the punishment, and for them is a painful punishment. لا تحسبن. Never think like this. Never assume this. Never suppose this. What? That الَّذِينَ يَفْرَحُونَ, those people who rejoice, those people who are very happy and pleased, about what? بِمَا أَتَوْ, with what أَتَوْ they have come. And what it means by بِمَا أَتَوْ is with what they have done. مَا أَتَى literally means what a person came with. And then it's understood as what a person has done, what a person has committed, the actions that a person has done. So those people who are very happy about what they have done. يفرحون, as you know, is from فرح, and فرح is of two types. One is فرح القلب, which is something that is praiseworthy, and the other is فرح النفس, which is blameworthy, which is negative. That a person becomes so happy that he begins to show off. He begins to show off. He begins to boast. He becomes exultant. He becomes proud. because of what he has. And sometimes a person is so happy about what he has or about what he has done that he starts looking down on other people. And sometimes he keeps talking about what he has and other people feel bad. So this is why farh is negative over here, because earlier we read farh is positive. فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. So farh is positive and it's also negative. When is it negative? When a person becomes so happy that he starts to be boastful, he starts showing off, and he starts looking down on other people, and he starts talking about what he has all the time, and he doesn't let other people talk about anything. So those people who are very happy about what? Bima atau, of what they have done. What does it mean by this? First of all, this means that they are very proud about what they have done, even if what they have done is something very insignificant, something very small. And they're happy and content and very proud of the little that they have done. That, for instance, a person prays 5 times a day, only the fard, and that is what? That's a minimum requirement. And how does he present himself? You know, I pray 5 times a day. And he says it to everybody, just to show that he's very religious, that he's very pious. Yes, it shows that a person is regular in salah. It's very good. But if he is telling other people about the fact that he never misses a salah, he's very regular with his salah, then it enters into the realm of showing off. So, يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا أَتَوْا. What does it indicate? That they are very happy about even the little and small actions that they have done. And because they're so happy about them, what do? They start showing off. They start showing off. If they have given a little bit of sadaqah, which is something good, they start showing off. They remind the other of the sadaqah that they have done. They think as if they are doing a favor to Allah and a favor to His deen if they have done something good. يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا أَتَوْا. So they do something small and they start showing off. Secondly, this is understood as that يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا أَتَوْا. مَا أَتَوْا refers to the wrong actions which they have committed. So they commit sins, they do something wrong, and they're very happy and proud about it. They boast about it, which is why they keep mentioning about the wrong things that they had done in the past. You know, I never wore the hijab before, and you say it with a smile. I didn't used to pray before, and you have a big smile on your face, as if there is a lot of pride in sin, as if it's something to be very proud about. Been there, done that. I have done this, I have done this, I have done this wrong action, that wrong action. I have been in drugs. People, actually, they take pride in the wrong that they have done. So, يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا أَتَوْا. What does it indicate? That when they do something wrong, or when they have done something wrong, they're very happy about it. They're very proud about it. They take pride in sin, in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا أَتَوْا. And sometimes a person is also happy about the wrong that he has done when he is not caught. When he is not caught. When he is not held accountable. That, for instance, a person manages to cheat in the test, and they're very happy. Nobody saw me. Nobody noticed. I'm so smart. I'm so clever. The group in charge didn't even realize. The invigilator passed by me and she still didn't see the note in my hand. I was successful at doing this. Similarly, a person lies and he's very proud about the fact that he was successful in his lying and nobody caught him. So, يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا أَتَوْا. Never think that such people, what does the ayah end with? That لَا تَحْسَبَنَّهُمْ بِمَفَازَةٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. Never think that they are safe from the punishment. Never think that. So those people who are very happy about the little that they have done and they start showing off, and secondly, they're very happy about the wrong that they have done and they take pride in sin, they're very happy about the fact that they didn't get caught. What does Allah say? Don't think that they are safe from the punishment. For now, they have deceived people. They have managed to be successful. Okay, they gained some pleasure. They gained some benefit. But in the akhirah, don't think that they're safe from the punishment. لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا أَتَوْا. وَيُحِبُّونَ. And they love أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا. That they should be praised for what they have not done. This is what they love. يُحِبُّونَ. They love this. So one problem that they have is of فرح over what they have done. And the second problem that they suffer from is what? That they love to be praised for something that they have not even done. Yuhmadu. Yuhmadu is from hamd. So they want to be praised for actions that they have not done. Why? Because when a person is praised for something that he has not done, what happens? What happens? People think that he is very great. People think that he is very successful, whereas actually he is not successful. Whereas actually he is not that great. So he has this false image that people perceive of him. And in reality, he doesn't do anything about it. He doesn't have to do anything and still he gets praised for it. That, for instance, a person, you know, they don't want to do their homework, and if the teacher tells them off, they don't want to be told off. They still want to be praised. At least I came. At least I showed up. وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا. So basically, they want the benefit without doing the work. They want the benefit without doing anything. بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا. False fame, false titles. This is what they want. What does Allah say? فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّهُمْ. So do not think them بِمَفَازَةٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. That they are مَفَازَةٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. مَفَازَة is from the root letters فَا وَوْزَي. And what does فَوْز mean? Success. فَقَدْ فَازَ. فَوْز is success. And مَفَازَة, it begins with مِيم. What is مَفَازَة? A place of success. A place where a person reaches upon success. Upon being successful. And remember that فَوْز is what type of success? In which a person has gained that which he likes and he has been saved from makruh, from that which he dislikes. Which is why we learned earlier the definition of success is what? فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Both things are important. That you're saved from the disliked, from the negative, and you get what you want as well. You attain the benefit as well. It is that فَازَ مِنَ الْمَكْرُوهِ, that he was saved from a difficulty. فَازَ مِنَ الْمَكْرُوهِ, that he was saved from something makruh, from something that is disliked. So مَفَازَ, place, state, position of security, of safety. What is it? A place or a state, a position of security, of safety. So never think that they are in a position of security مِنَ الْعَذَابِ, from the punishment. Never think that these people are secure. Never think that they can go to a place where they can escape from the punishment in the hereafter. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And for them is a painful punishment. So what do we learn from this ayah? First of all, there is warning against farh, against being happy, overly happy, and showing off over what a person has accomplished. Does this mean that you should be sad when you accomplish something, when you do something? You shouldn't be happy? Is that the meaning? No. What is the meaning? That if you have accomplished something, if you have done something, who does the credit go to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That at that time, a person says, Alhamdulillah. All praise is for Allah and not for me. That a person offers gratitude at that time and he does not begin to think very highly of himself, very great of himself. So first of all, we learn of the great warning against farh over what a person has accomplished. And the problem is that today, the culture is such that people encourage you to present yourself, to put yourself out there, to show what you have done, to display your credentials, to tell everybody about what you have done, what you have accomplished. And sometimes if you just read like resumes of people randomly, you will be amazed at what little things they have written. Like for instance, when children, when they graduate from high school, sometimes they make a portfolio of all that they have achieved, all that they have done. And sometimes you wonder, is this really worth mentioning? Is this really a big deal? I volunteered 5 hours doing this. Is it really a big deal? I mean, if Allah gave you the tawfiq to do something good, what should you do? Protect your good deed. Because if you tell other people about it, what's going to happen? There's chances of riya, of showing off. But again, this doesn't mean that you don't tell other people about what you have done. You tell them only when it's necessary. And don't go on advertising yourself, displaying yourself everywhere. I am this and I am this and I am this. It depends on the niyyah. And it's always better to, you know, hide your good deeds because it protects your niyyah. It saves you from riya. Like we learn of this one battle in which the Muslims, they had surrounded the wall of the city and they were not able to break in. They were not able to open the gates of the city and enter into the city in order to conquer it. And finally, this one person, he managed to make a hole and enter into the city and open the door from inside. And obviously the Muslims, they were able to go inside and eventually they were victorious. Now, the leader of the Muslims, he announced, "Who is it that went inside?" Nobody came up. He announced so many times, "Who is it that went in and did this? Who did it?" Nobody came up. Eventually, one person came to him when the leader was alone and his face was wrapped up. He had covered his face. And he said, "I will only tell you on one condition, that you don't tell anybody about who did this." And then he unveiled his face, and it is said that he left that army then, so that nobody would find out, nobody would start talking, and nobody would praise him for what he had done. Because a true believer, he realizes that the good deeds that he has done, even though they may be very huge, they're still insignificant. And if I have gone through so much difficulty to accomplish this good deed, how can I just wash it away by doing riya? This is so precious to me. How can I wash it away by doing riya? So first of all, we learn that it is important to not be overly happy and begin to show off about the good deeds that a person has done, about what a person has accomplished. And the fact is that if Allah wishes to give you honor, if Allah wishes to give you honor, He will give it to you, even without people knowing what you have done, what you have earned, what you have accomplished. If He wishes to give you honor. And if He does not wish to give you honor, it's possible that you tell people of what you have done, about all of your credentials, and nobody gives you any importance. That's also possible. Then why should you put your good deeds at risk? Why? Secondly, we learn about the warning against loving to be praised for what a person has not accomplished. Loving to be praised for what a person has not accomplished. And unfortunately, this happens with many of us. Sometimes somebody else has done the hard work. Somebody else has spent so much time cleaning the house or preparing the food. And when the guests come over, you pretend as though you have done it, as though you have cooked the food, as if you have spent so much time cleaning and preparing and doing so much. Similarly, somebody else has put in so much effort in preparing a research paper. All that you do is just copy paste parts of it, and you present it as your own. Somebody else has put in so much effort doing an assignment, and all that you do is put it in front of you and copy it down onto your assignment. And you get praised, you get marks for something that you didn't actually do yourself. وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا. Like sometimes, instant food, we use that shortcuts, pre-prepared meals, pre-cooked meals, and we just heat them up in the microwave and we pretend as though we spent hours cooking it. So what do we learn? That a person should not like to be praised for something that he has not done. And sometimes this happens accidentally. The other person assumes that you have done so much, whereas you haven't actually done. Like I remember when we were younger, my older sister, as you know, she recites Quran. So many times we would go to a gathering and she would recite the Quran, and after the lecture, the women would come up to me and say, "You know, you recited so well." And I knew that I hadn't recited, it was my sister. So one is that I would pretend that, yeah, I did it and I feel so good about it. And the other is that I said, no, it was my sister who recited it. Huh? So sometimes it happens accidentally that you get praised for something that you haven't actually done. What should you do? Just take that praise and feel good? No. Tell the other person about the reality. We learn that the hypocrites, we learn in Sahih al-Bukhari, that Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he said that during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to a battle, some hypocrite men would remain behind and rejoice. They would be very happy. About what? That they didn't go for the battle. They were allowed to stay back because they did not accompany the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come back, they would ask him to excuse them, swearing to have some excuse, meaning they would go and present some excuses that this is the reason why we couldn't come, we were so busy, I was so occupied, and my heart was there, I was thinking about you all the time, I wish I could be there. So they would come and present excuses, and they would want to be praised for that which they did not do. They wanted a share in the benefit, in the booty, if the Muslims got some. So This is the quality of a hypocrite. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They try to deceive Allah and those people who have believed. How? By pretending to be what they are not actually. By pretending that they have actually done something when they haven't really done it. This pretense, showing off. This is the trait of a hypocrite. Sometimes people, you know, they take somebody else's book, they change a few things, put their own name and publish it. Somebody else's article, alter it a little bit, put their own name and publish it. And then they put it in their resume. I have published articles in this magazine. Similarly, people will put false credentials in their resumes. Why? So that they can get some benefit. What does Allah say? Don't think that they are in a position of security from punishment. No. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. For them is a painful punishment. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And Allah is over all things competent. To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. We learn in Surah Saba, ayah number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلِ دُعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Say, call upon those whom you think, whom you assume to be gods besides Allah. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. They don't own even a dharrah, even an atom in the heavens or the earth. They don't own it, even a dharrah. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ. And they have no share in the heavens and the earth. وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. So وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Only to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. And remember the word mulk, it gives us two meanings. First of all, mulk al-a'yan. A'yan. Hamza, Ayn, Ya, Alif, Noon. What does it mean? Things. So mulk al-a'yan is the possession and ownership of things. So Allah has a mulk of the heavens and the earth. What does it mean? That He is a possessor and owner of the entire heavens and the earth and whatever is within them. And the second type of mulk is mulk al-tasarruf, which is to rule, to have the ability to judge, decide, plan, regulate the affairs, manage. So He has the mulk, meaning He is a sovereign. He is the ruler. It's His decision. It is His will that is executed. It is His law that is applied. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And not to anyone else. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And Allah is able over everything. قَدِيرٍ is from the root letters قَافْ دَالْغَ, from the word قُدْرَ. What does قُدْرَ mean? Ability. It is to have the ability to do something without any عِجْز. What does عِجْز mean? Inability. Weakness. That it is to be able to do something, accomplish something, without being unable to do so. Meaning you have full ability. You have full capability to do something. So, وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. We learned earlier that the Jews would say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءٌ. Allah is faqir and we are rich. What does Allah say? وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Come to your senses. You think Allah is faqir? No, to Allah belongs the heavens and the earth. The entire mulk of the heavens and the earth. He is not poor. He is the owner of all things. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And over here we see that in these two parts of the ayah, the first part of the ayah, it negates the statement of the Yahud that Allah is faqir. That وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And the second part of the ayah, وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. This is a warning against them. That if He wishes, He can punish them. He is capable. He can punish. So when you say something, when you do something that is wrong, that is unacceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then remember that Allah is able over everything. Recitation.
لا تحسبن الذين يفرحون بما أتوا ويحبون أن يحمدوا بما لم يفعلوا فلا تحسبنهم بمفازة من العذاب ولهم عذاب أليم ولله ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء قدير.
With regards to loving to be praised for something that a person has not done, we learn from a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, that whoever issues a false claim to acquire some type of gain, to acquire some type of benefit. Meaning whoever says something that is false, that is incorrect, it's not true. And why does he say it? To get some fame, to get some praise, to get some benefit. So for instance, a person says, last night when I woke up for tahajjud, this and this happened. Whereas actually he was sleeping at that time. So saying things that are completely false, why? So that he can get fame. What does the hadith say? Then Allah will only grant him decrease. Allah will only grant him decrease. This person will only increase in his humiliation. People are not going to respect him. People are not going to have any respect for him. People are not going to have any respect for him whatsoever. Because a person who's always talking about himself, where he mentions his good deeds, do you like listening to them? Think about it. If a person is telling you, you know, I sent food here and I cooked this much and I did this much, I cleaned this and I cleaned that, I did everything myself and she didn't do anything. If a person keeps on saying things like that, how do you feel? Just be quiet. Keep it to yourself. Even you don't like listening to it, and automatically you lose respect for them. So a person who says false things just to gain some benefit, just to gain some praise, Allah only increases him in humiliation. Anything you'd like to say before we conclude the lesson? The dua that Allahumma ja'alni sabura wa ja'alni shakura wa ja'alni fi aini saghira, make me small in my eyes, wa ja'alni fi a'yunin nasi kabira, and make me big in the eyes of people, not in my own eyes but in the eyes of people. And this is the reason why it is so important to stay connected with the Quran and keep reading the Quran, because the Quran reminds you of things that we don't even think about, we don't even remember. Like if we get praise for something we have not done, we take it as a compliment, we think it's so good. But over here we learn that such people are not secure from punishment, are not secure from punishment. So this is why it's so important to stay connected with the Quran, to keep reading the Quran, to keep studying the Quran, to never leave it, in order to have sabr and taqwa. Because in this situation, what is sabr and taqwa? That if somebody is praising you for something that you haven't done, you have some sabr, you control your desire of being praised, and out of taqwa, out of the fear of Allah, you tell them about the reality.
Recitation.
لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ لا تحسبن الذين يفرحون بما أتوا ويحبون أن يحمدوا بما لم يفعلوا فلا تحسبنهم بمفازة من العذاب ولهم عذاب أليم ولله ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء قدير